So we won't have a clear picture until the new imagery and data analysis comes out in 2025, but anecdotally, we see trees coming down at development sites around the city.
To answer to the demands of a growing city, the district has made substantial commitments to building more housing and paving the way for the stores, restaurants, and other retail establishments that go with city life. But environmentalists say there are too many loopholes to DC tree protection laws. And even when a developer or resident pays a fee to remove a tree, the fees are too low to provide much disincentive to removing mature, healthy trees, and along with them, the heat-taming shade of their canopies and floodwater-absorbing roots, not to mention the enjoyment and other benefits we humans receive from this proximity to nature. Since trees take decades to grow back, advocates are raising the alarm now about what fewer trees will mean for the district, as climate change leads to longer, hotter heat waves and more extreme storms. In response to these worries, the DC Council passed legislation in 2022 that allowed the mayor to issue stop work orders on construction sites where tree protection laws aren't being respected. Now, the council is considering another bill that would increase the fee associated with removing larger trees. What impact could these bills have on development moving forward? And what's at stake if larger trees continue to be cut down? I'm Marcelo Jauregui-Volpe, and this is The Climate Divide, Season 3.
I'm Kelly Collins-Choi. I'm the Director of Policy and Land Conservation at Casey Trees.
I am John Boland, and I'm the Policy and Advocacy Associate at Casey Trees.
Kelly and John both work at the tree protection nonprofit Casey Trees. Each year, right around Arbor Day, which is tomorrow, Casey Trees publishes their Tree Report Card, an annual report that evaluates the state of DC's trees and provides recommendations on how to better protect the city's tree canopy. Launched in 2008, the annual report assesses the city's trees using four metrics: coverage, health, planting, and protection. This year, Casey Trees gave the city an overall grade of B+. Tree coverage, tree health, and tree planting got high marks, with the tree report noting that over 12,000 trees were planted in 2023. But the nonprofit gave DC a much lower grade for tree protection. After 6 years of receiving A's in this annual canopy report, a lower tree protection grade has caused DC's overall grade to drop to B's in the past two studies. To give this year's grade some context, it's helpful to know what laws are in place to protect trees. I'm walking by this parking lot between 8th Street and Georgia Avenue Northwest, and there's sort of trees throughout the perimeter of this parking lot, and, you know, especially on the Georgia Avenue side, there's actually a few pretty big trees. I have this tree permitting information from the District Department of Transportation in front of me, and according to this, there's three trees that are slated to be removed on this site. One of them is a tree of heaven with a 34.56 inch circumference, the other is an elm tree with a 21.68 inch circumference, and the third is an English oak tree with a 70.06 inch circumference. In DC, the District Department of Transportation runs a permitting process for the removal of trees. Whether you need a permit depends on the size of the tree and whether that tree is on public or private property. After a permit has been turned in, the department sends out an arborist from its Urban Forestry Division to evaluate the trees and make a final decision on whether to approve or reject the permit. Bigger trees, which have more environmental and health benefits, have more protections. The city defines a special tree as having a circumference between 44 and 99.9 inches. A tree with a circumference exceeding 100 inches is considered a heritage tree. But there's a bill under DC Council review that wants to change these classifications. Last year, Chairman Phil Mendelson introduced the Tree Preservation Enhancement Amendment Act, which modifies the Urban Forest Preservation Act of 2002. One of those amendments calls for reducing the threshold for a special tree to 25 inches. Healthy trees that fall into the special tree category can be removed, though it comes at a price of $55 per inch of circumference. In the Georgia Avenue example I mentioned earlier, the English oak tree was the only special tree of the three trees listed in the permit. The company that submitted the permit, called Lot 3 Residential LLC, had to pay about $3,800.
I've been following a lot of the DC Council hearings, and I've seen you all's testimony on the Tree Preservation Enhancement Amendment Act.
Yeah, we are very supportive of the Tree Preservation Enhancement Amendment Act and the main tenet of the bill, which is reducing the circumference size of special trees from 44 inches circumference to 25 inches. This would offer protection for approximately 20% of our city's trees. It's currently only around 15%. And in particular, it's those mature trees that are just coming into their own in terms of the ecosystem services they provide to our residents. We do have concerns. There's currently language regarding a fee for removal of heritage trees. That's not something that we support, but we do appreciate the intent behind the language regarding conservation easements as an alternative. We just feel that it needs to be fleshed out a bit more to ensure that it would provide a benefit to the city's canopy over the long term and doesn't become a loophole for developers. We are also asking that this legislation include a provision that the city reassess fees and fines every 5 years to account for inflation and the increased costs of tree plantings.
It's illegal to cut a heritage tree that isn't hazardous. Doing so results in a penalty of at least $30,000, which is $300 per inch of circumference. This fine also applies to cutting down a special tree without a permit. These fees and fines are intended to go to DC's tree fund, which finances tree planting around the city, though that hasn't always been the case. This year's tree report card states that over the past couple of years, the Office of Chief Financial Officer misdirected about $300,000 in tree violation fines in the general fund. In a DC council testimony, Kelly noted that that money could have planted around 800 trees.
Seems like for the past few years, Casey Trees has been pushing for like an increase in the special tree removal fees and fines sort of to match inflation and also sort of to rectify this misdirection of the fines that have been collected that's been directed to the general fund. How are these requests being met when you bring them up?
So we did testify this year at performance oversight hearings, in particular for the Office of Chief Financial Officer, to bring to their attention the fact that once these notices of infraction are being heard in the Office of Administrative Hearings and fines are being paid, these are for the bad actors, that those funds are being directed into the general fund instead of the tree fund. Councilmember McDuffie, overseeing the hearing, took it pretty seriously, and he assured us that, you know, he'd be reaching out to the Office of Chief Financial Officer. We haven't had any confirmation yet that it's been resolved, but we will continue to advocate that those funds are directed to the tree fund per statute.
Do you all remember how and like when you found out for the first time that these funds were being directed into the general fund?
Yeah, we were chatting with folks from the Urban Forestry Division. I think they were just looking at the receipts and realizing that we had a couple pretty sizable fines that were paid during a tree poisoning case a couple years ago. And they realized that those funds never made it into the tree fund. And so we've been advocating ever since then.
Kelly mentioned a case from last year in which the city accused the developer H2 Design Build of poisoning large healthy trees on two development sites in Southeast DC to avoid paying tree removal fees. H2 denied the accusations, though agreed to pay $144,000 in fines, claiming that they didn't want to delay their construction project any further. One of those sites, across from the Anacostia Metro Station in Ward 8, was a lot where the mayor had planned an affordable housing development. Since 2019, DC has set out to build 36,000 housing units. A third of those are meant to be affordable units. There's been a lot of development over the past decade in Ward 8, such as improvements to Interstate 295, redevelopments of the St. Elizabeth East Campus, and the construction of the Skyland Town Center. In their 2020 story map addressing DC's tree canopy, the Urban Forestry Division noted that these developments led to tree loss. Ward 8's tree canopy dropped a little over 2% between 2015 and 2020. Of the five advisory neighborhood commission areas that experienced the most tree canopy loss in this time period, three are located in Ward 8. I had the chance to speak with Nathan Harrington, the executive director of the conservation group Ward 8 Woods, about how he and his team are dealing with this surge in development.
I'm just curious to hear about like the developers and the tree cutting situation in Ward 8.
You know, it's tough because we do need to build more housing, but, you know, we need to be smart about it. We need to not take away the green space that makes some of these neighborhoods appealing. And we have a narrow window of opportunity to side parkland and green space. If we don't do it in the next decade or two, everything's going to be built out and we're going to wish that we had, you know, set aside more parks. So, you know, but the amount of money that's involved in these developments is such that even a couple hundred thousand dollars in fees that they would have to pay in order to get permission to cut them down is not a deterrent. All it is a source of revenue that can be used to plant new trees, but eventually we're going to run out of space to plant new trees, and not all of them are going to survive, and the ones that do are going to take 100 years to be as big as the ones that were cut down. So one of the things that I'm advocating is that those tree funds in the tree fund actually be used to either purchase land for preservation as parkland or to purchase conservation easements from the owners to prevent deforestation.
Over the past week, Ward 8 Woods, KC Trees, and dozens of other groups have run events around DC to celebrate Earth Day, which was officially this past Monday, April 22nd. Whether it was a nature walk, community cleanup, or tree planting, these events show residents the many ways they can get involved in their community and care for their natural environment. Earth Day is also a day of advocacy, with hundreds of millions of people around the world demanding that their governments take more action to reduce greenhouse gas emissions that fuel climate change. Trees are an important part of that puzzle to create a climate-resilient city. They can provide shade on blistering days, which we'll see more of due to climate change. Higher temperatures will also bring more severe storms and flooding, which can be mitigated by trees, which naturally absorb water. Trees also play a significant role in reducing emissions since they capture carbon dioxide. As past seasons have pointed out, there are already areas in the city that don't have enough tree cover, and residents that are especially vulnerable to heat illnesses because of prior health conditions or their age.
From the past few tree report cards, I know the big sentiment that's been expressed is that in DC, there's just a lot of building and construction that is happening. And there is a need for affordable housing. Some of this has come at a cost for tree canopy, at least for 2015 to 2020, right? It was, I believe, a 1% decrease. Are you now feeling confident that in this age of development and these development booms that trees will be prioritized at the same time?
We recognize that DC is growing and that's great. And it would be a foolish mission to try and get in the way of any of that. We just want to make sure that development is happening sustainably. So things like reducing the special tree threshold are just steps in a process to make sure that we're giving trees a chance to grow. And we also work with developers directly, reviewing kind of like site proposals and pointing out places where, sure, if they're cutting down some trees, maybe they can replant some elsewhere on the site. We just want to make sure that we're not aggregately losing trees. So we're playing a little bit of catch up after the last canopy assessment. But we're hopeful that all these policies, when added together, will help to slow down and then reverse that trend.
Last week, the National Park Service announced that later this year, they will move ahead with a plan that will renovate the Rock Creek Park Golf Course, which is currently operated by the nonprofit National Lynx Trust, under a lease agreement with the Park Service. The rehabilitation project will remove more than 1,000 trees, despite public outcry from the area environmentalists and residents. The Park Service's press release stated that half of those trees are in poor health, dead, or invasive, that they read all the comments expressing concern over the tree removal, and that they plan to plant hundreds of native trees on the property. After the decision was made public, KC Trees expressed frustration with the Park Service in a statement emailed to Hora Cultura, estimating that 237 heritage trees will be cut down. We first reported on this last season, and will follow up with more local perspectives and information, particularly how this case reflects what could happen when so much of a city's parkland is managed by the federal government through the Park Service. The Climate Divide is produced and edited by me. Claudia Peralta Torres provided additional editing and sound mixing support. Christine McDonald is a series editor and executive director of Hora Cultura. Members of the Society and Culture team in Hora Cultura's storytelling program for experiential learning also contribute to this podcast. This project is supported by Spotlight DC and the Pulitzer Center.